Welcome to the Capital Connection, a weekly program questioning New York State leaders on a variety of issues. Your host is Dr. Alan Chartok, political scientist and professor emeritus at the University at Albany. Distribution for the Capital Connection is made possible with the help of New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is New York State Assemblyman Richard Gottfried, a Democrat who represents New York's 75th Assembly District, covering Chelsea, Hell's Kitchen, Murray Hill, Midtown, and part of the Lincoln Center area in Manhattan. Been chair of the Assembly Health Committee since 1987. Welcome, Dick Gottfried. Always great to talk to you.
Oh, always terrific to be with you. And it occurs to me that you and I both have degrees with a D in them. Yours is a PH and mine is a J.
That's right. That's right, doctor. That's what I'm going to call you from now on. As you may know, the governor insists on our little
interviews. You and the governor have been chatting about that. Yeah.
Yeah. He keeps calling me doctor. And I said to him, why doctor? And he said, because you're an operator. So there you are. Dick Gottfried, you've been around for a long time. I'm a huge fan. What you've done is What you've done is extraordinary. Let's talk a little bit about marijuana. You've been talking about this for a long time. Maybe you could set it all up for us.
Well, yeah, you're right. I've been involved with legislation on marijuana forever. The law that decriminalized possession of small amounts in 1977 was my bill. The medical marijuana law enacted in 2014 was a bill that I was fighting for about 17 years before it finally became law. The adult use legislation, the lead sponsor on that in our house is Crystal People Stokes from Buffalo. I'm one of many co-sponsors. We may be getting that done in the budget, although it may get pulled out to deal with during the rest of the legislative session, in part because I think there is widespread agreement that we need to get the criminal justice system out of the marijuana world and do something along the lines of what the governor wants. There are a lot of details having to do with the structure of the market and how much we can do to help make sure that it's a market that is open to small entrepreneurs and entrepreneurs from the communities that have been most hurt by the criminalization all these years. How should we tax it? How much should we tax it? Do we want to say something special about where the tax money goes? So those are all issues that are being wrestled with and may not be able to get resolved in the next 4 weeks doing the budget.
The governor seems to think that the budget really is the only way to go, that once you don't put it in the budget, which has a definite date it has to be done by, you have a morass.
Well, there's something to be said for that. Certainly the time pressure of getting a budget done can help to force agreement on things and focus people's attention. But I would certainly love to have it done on that timetable. It just may not be practical in the end.
I was fascinated by what you just said. Yeah, for years, when we criminalized marijuana, the people who were being, we know that this is the case, who were being incarcerated were people of color, much more so than people who are Caucasian. And now there seems to be a sense that, hey, if we suffered all of those years and we've been selling that stuff in our communities, we ought to have a piece of the action now that we're legalizing. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, and the sort of social justice piece of this is first of all, there's a lot of demand, which I think makes perfect sense, that a lot of the a good chunk of the tax money ought to go to the targeted communities, and secondly, that we really don't want huge and overwhelmingly white rich corporations moving in and taking over the whole business.
So how do you do it? Do you put them in mom and pop stores and allow them to sell the marijuana? How do you do it?
Well, you know, in the alcohol area, and you know, our current law there was largely enacted in 1933, which I occasionally hesitate to mention to people was before I was elected
or born.
My parents hadn't even met yet. But you know, part of that legislation says if you manufacture alcohol, you can't distribute it, and if you either manufacture or distribute, you can't sell it at retail. So there, you know, there is no Budweiser bar, and there is no Johnny Walker liquor store. And if you're going to be a liquor store, New York says you can't own more than 3 stores. So it's like the one part of our economy that big chain companies and big corporations don't get to dominate. And so there is a lot of interest in trying to carry those principles into the retailing of adult use marijuana.
Okay, so I remember distinctly when you were the youngest person in the state legislature, right?
Yes, not the youngest ever, but the youngest at the time.
Yes,
I was 23.
In the New York State Legislature, and you've watched them come and go. You've watched people go to jail. You've watched people get into great trouble. But you've always been an advocate,
and get elected to Congress and be a national hero, like my high school debating team fellow member Jerry Nadler.
What high school?
Stuyvesant in Manhattan.
I should have known.
So there are legislators who do good things. They don't all go to jail.
Yeah, I didn't want you to yes. take that, you know, as a personal hit. However, you've always been, as I remember it, because you've talked to many of my classes, somebody who believed in a strong leadership system. And now you see the president of the Senate, Shelley Silver, they're all in jail. Does that make you rethink the idea that maybe, you know, the people at the top should be deferred to?
Well, I think the importance of the assembly being a well-organized entity is that there are all sorts of people out there, governors, and I don't just mean the current one, I've served with 8 of them, governors, big special interest groups, newspaper editorial pages, all try to tell us what to do. And I believe very firmly that if the legislature or if the assembly is going to defend its internal decision-making ability, it has to be tightly organized. And, you know, the New York Times notion that the Speaker and the Senate Majority Leader and the Governor make all the decisions, you know, if that's how my workplace worked, I would have left about 45 years ago. My parents didn't raise me to sit in the audience and applaud on cue. And, you know, the other day my administrative assistant was complaining about my schedule and saying, you know, there are all these people who want to meet with you tomorrow. I don't know where to put them all. And I said, simple, just explain to them that the New York Times says that all the decisions are made by the governor and the speaker and the Senate Majority Leader. So why do they want to come and talk to me? Well, the answer is they do all want to come and talk to me. My time talking to advocates and whatnot, you know, is sliced into 15-minute intervals. And if the speaker made all the decisions, they wouldn't want to come and talk to me and to all of my colleagues. But the speaker, while he represents us when we're going up against the governor or in the old day, a year ago when we were going up against the Senate, he carries our rank and file agenda. Because if he didn't, he would very quickly find that we didn't back him up. And it's a system that has that maximizes the ability of individual assembly members to have an opinion, have it become part of the assembly's agenda, and have somebody who's a lot bigger than I'll ever be to stand up to a governor and a Senate on my behalf.
Okay, Dick Gottfried, let's go on to a huge subject, and that is, obviously, it's going to be a while before there can be single-payer health care in the United States. We have a president who was claiming that he wants to do good things on health but has never shown us anything along those lines. Mm-hmm. But you've been talking for quite a while about single-payer health coverage, and you've introduced legislation on this in New York State alone. Can that be done?
It certainly can. First of all, we are a very big state. We are a state with a very big tax base. It is not evenly distributed geographically or otherwise, but there's a lot of money made in New York. And legally, while the federal government has a lot to say about Medicaid and Medicare and the ACA, I've looked into this in a lot of detail, and I am convinced that even if the president is not cooperating with us, there's enough opportunity to essentially wrap around and fill in the gaps of Medicaid and Medicare that we can do a single-payer system as an individual state. It would be great to have federal cooperation in folding Medicaid and Medicare into our single-payer system, but we can do it without them. It would be great to have it done nationally, but I think we're a long way from that happening. And, the way the Children's Health Insurance Program became nationwide is Minnesota did it in the late 80s, New York plagiarized it from Minnesota in 1990, and within a few years, Congress put in matching money, and within a couple of years, every state had a child health insurance program. And that's how Canada adopted their single-payer system. It started with Saskatchewan and then Manitoba, and within about 4 years, every province had a program that was largely funded with their federal government money. So if we want it nationwide, starting in a state and having other states copy us is the way we've done a lot of progress in this country.
Have you spoken to Governor Cuomo about this particular plan? He's fighting for every penny now. He says we're broke in New York State. We're the number one tax state. How do you get over with him?
Well, I haven't discussed this directly with the governor. I've had several conversations, quite a few conversations about it with a lot of people in the administration. And without throwing anybody under the bus, I think there are a lot of people in the administration who agree with me. The governor's position has been, he says that he thinks single payer is the right thing to do, which, by the way, puts him ahead of about 48 other governors. The new governor of California, Gavin Newsom, is on board. But he said he thinks it really needs to be done at the national level, has doubts about whether we can do it at the state level. That's from my viewpoint, that's not a bad position. I wish he would introduce my bill as a governor's program bill, but, that's not going to happen. I think if we get to the point where the Assembly and Senate are about to pass the bill, and I think we could get to that point in the next couple of months, I think Senator Gustavo Rivera, the Senate sponsor, and I think at that point we'll be invited down to the second floor to have a much more detailed conversation about the bill.
We're talking to Assemblyman Richard Gottfried, I believe now one of the longest-serving members of the New York State Legislature. Is that right?
Well, I am currently the longest-serving current member of either house. I've been the longest-serving member of the Assembly in the history of the New York Assembly.
Wow.
For several years now. And at the end of this current term, when I will have done 50 years in the Assembly,
whoa,
I will have served longer than John Markey, who, as you know, served for for 50 years in the state Senate. But one journalist pointed out to me that my 50 years in the assembly will have one more leap year than John Markey's 50 years, so I will beat him by one day. But in any event, my current goalpost is Queen Elizabeth has been lugging that scepter around for, what, 66 years? So I've got a ways to go.
Got a few more to go. Well, you represent parts, of course, of the Upper West Side where I grew up.
Yeah.
And it's a unique place, isn't it?
It is. It's a, I mean, the bulk of my district is a little further downtown, Chelsea and Hell's Kitchen.
Right.
But like the Upper West Side, I represent a lot of very progressive, very well-educated, very smart people. I've got a lot of poor people in my district, but it also, interestingly, is one of the wealthiest districts in the state. Almost every one of New York State's wealthiest assembly districts is represented by a Democrat.
I know that you're very concerned about the new vaping and electronic cigarettes. What are we going to do about that?
Yeah. Well, hopefully we will tighten our laws on them. Today we will be in the assembly. I expect we will be passing the bill to raise the sale age for both tobacco and e-cigarettes to 21. I hope we will be cracking down on flavored e-cigarettes the way we have with tobacco. I think they are an enabling tool of nicotine addiction. I know there are people who have successfully used them to quit smoking tobacco, which is good, but I know an awful lot of people use them as a way of enabling them to continue their addiction by getting their nicotine hit in when they're in places where they're not allowed to smoke tobacco.
Is there pushback from the industry?
Oh, sure. I mean, the Juul people are, you know, talk to me and my staff and talk to probably every one of my colleagues all the time, trying to dissuade us. Although I think they are in favor of the ban on sale under 21 because they are trying to argue that they join us in opposing use of e-cigarettes by minors. But even if you assume that they are sincere in that, there is an awful lot of use of e-cigarettes as well as tobacco by minors, and that's the age at which people get addicted.
You bet. New York City Subway, the Speaker of the New York City Council, Cory Johnson, who may himself run for mayor, I'm sure, at some point,
mm-hmm.
says that the mayor should control the subways. Yes or no?
Well, I think there's a lot to be said for that. You know, in over 50 years ago, we created, and again, this was before I was elected, we created the MTA as a regional entity, and that's how it comes to be under the control of the governor, not the city. I think there's a lot to be said for trying to give it back to the city. You'd have to make sure that there were mechanisms in place to make sure that we didn't hurt the system financially if and when it goes back to city control. I wouldn't want to have a system in which future governors look at the city transit system and say, you know, that's not my system. I don't get to run it. Why should I put a lot of money into it?
Sure.
So that's a legitimate concern. But I think we wouldn't let no city in New York, no county would let the governor take over control of their streets. So I think there's a lot to be said for the city taking back control of our subway system.
Dick Gottfried, if anybody's a progressive in the New York State Legislature, you are. You saw the loss of the Amazon deal. Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Well, I would have been happy to have Amazon in town. They wouldn't be our only technology-based giant company with big operations in New York. I mean, we've got Google and a fair amount of Amazon. We have Facebook. We have the Twitter people, all with big operations in New York City. Amazon would be the only one that we were giving about $3 billion in tax breaks to, and the only one we would be exempting from New York City zoning. And that's what concerned me, and I think that's what concerned a lot of people, that this business of throwing enormous amounts of money at companies to move to New York, we did not need to do that to get Google and Facebook and the others to come to New York. We needed to be a terrific place for them to do business, and our ability to be a terrific place to do business is based in large part on taxpayer-funded things like a good school system and the city university and a subway system that enables people to get to work from an enormously broad region. And you need revenue to keep New York City the unusual gem that it is.
The governor is in a fight with both houses of the legislature as to what the number in quotes is, in other words, how much revenue will be coming in.
Yeah.
And New York had been famous for years for not getting its budget done on time. How does this get resolved?
Well, under the budget reform legislation that we enacted a number of years ago, when the legislature and the governor couldn't agree on a revenue number, by law, the controller got to pronounce the number, which he did yesterday evening. So that's resolved. I don't see any reason why we would not get a full budget done by the end of March. It's what we've been doing pretty consistently for the last, I don't know, at least since 2011. I mean, Governor Cuomo would say as long as he's been governor, we've been doing on-time budgets.
Only got a minute, but basically you got a Senate controlled by the Democrats, you got an Assembly controlled by the Democrats. What's the poop? How are you guys getting along?
Well, the Assembly and Senate are getting along extraordinarily well.
It's the governor that presents the problem, yes?
Yeah, well, if you read the Federalist Papers, the legislative branch and the executive branch are not meant to be pals. The system isn't, we're not supposed to be all on the same page. And we never are, regardless of party. But the Assembly and Senate, from our first couple of days of this new term, people were saying to me things like, oh, yeah, we're working that out with the Senate. And I kept saying to myself, I've never heard anybody say that before. What a country. It's been quite wonderful having a full partner on the Senate side of the building.
And a great deal has been done. We're out of time. Our guest has been New York State Assemblyman Richard Gottfried, chair of the Health Committee in the Assembly. Richard, old friend, thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure as always.
Capital Connection is distributed with the cooperation of the public radio stations of New York State. David Gustina is the producer of The Capital Connection, a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio in Albany. Support for The Capital Connection comes from New York State United Teachers, representing professionals in education and healthcare, online at nysut.org.